Abadi, 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 abadi. I wish it was all, folks, but here comes the colonel.
Yes, yes, more comics from the Comedy Central auditions down the hall sneaking in to disrupt our program. Well, welcome back. The second half hour of The Promise of Tomorrow. I'm your host. I'm Colonel Mason on the Science News Radio Network. We're going to have some closing comments from Jeff Gray, who is speaking at the Metricon Conference. He's the CEO of Sirtech. And then we're going to visit with Saraju Mohanty, for the Department of Computer Sciences and Engineering at the University of North Texas in Denton. He's speaking at Metricon 2. And Christoph Solner will be a guest on the program in just a little bit. But right now, let's step over to our fountain of useless information we have here on the set. Rummage around in the coin jar for just a little bit here and get today's query.
To the fountain of useless information. How can I help you?
Ah, there's the spirit, yes. We threw in the coins, and the spirit, who knows all, hears all, sees all, and tells all, for a price, is ready for today's query. All right, O Spirit of the Fountain. Do you remember Walter Reuther? What four words completed Walter Reuther's UAW pension plan slogan? Too old to work? What four words completed that slogan? Too old to work.
I have given you my answer, and now you may tell me.
Yes, 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 I see. The Spirit of the Fountain does know all, hear all, see all, and tell all. The four words, they're completed. Walter Reuther, excuse me, UAW pension plan slogan, too old to work? Yes. If you said too young to die, you are absolutely correct. Too old to work, too young to die. So, we need a pension. Okay. All right, now let's get back to our guests. And we want to thank Jeff Gray, who's the CEO of Sirtech, for giving us a preview of what he's going to be talking about at Metricon. Jeff will also have a table there so you can visit with him. Metricon, find out more about that. It's going to go on November 6th at the Hearst Convention Center, about halfway between Dallas and Fort Worth. You can find out more about that at our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen, you'll see a link. Jeff, before we get out of here, I know that you've been mentored during your career, and I'm sure that you are mentoring others too. Do you have a word of wisdom for us, maybe a creed to live by, or maybe some sort of guidance that you might give to a younger person who maybe is in your organization?
I think the key, you know, the key things that we try to drive is the things that we do in our organization are incredibly important. And I sometimes say, you know, my mom rides on those airplanes or my daughter drives that car. To make it real for people to understand that the things that we do literally impact the safety of the people around us in our society. And to never lose sight of how important it is to pay attention to every single detail. And sometimes it's monotonous and it's challenging and frustrating, but if you kind of keep that bigger picture in your mind of it's important or we wouldn't be doing it. and I think, you know, that certainly helped me throughout my career. I had a similar speech given to me early in my life that really kind of helped keep me grounded when you're neck deep in details and there's a lot of things going on, to kind of bring it back up to a level of this is really important, and you know, we're grateful to have the opportunity to do it.
All right, Jeff Gray, CEO of Sirtech. We're delighted and appreciate that you took the time to have a conversation with us. You really enlightened me, and I know many members of the audience on the things that you're doing. We look forward to seeing you at the Metricon Conference. It's going on at the Hearst Convention Center November 6th. That's about halfway between Dallas and Fort Worth. You can find out more information on that at our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen, you will see a link to the Metricon Conference. Again, Jeff, thanks so much. It's been really super appreciated, and we'll look forward to seeing you at MetroCon.
Hey, great. Thank you so much, Colonel Mason. Looking forward to it.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Science News Radio Network special presentation, Promise of Tomorrow with Colonel Mason. Those of you listening on radio can also hear us commercial-free online anytime, webcast at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Well, as you know, if you're a regular listener, you've know that we've been covering the events that are going on at this year's MetroCon conference, sponsored by Lockheed Martin and produced by IEEE. You won't want to miss commemorating the 32nd annual conference. This is recognizing the 50th anniversary of the U.S. moon landing with surprise keynote speaker and keen insights in artificial intelligence, machine learning, plus the Internet of Things. Right now, I want to introduce you to one of the speakers at the conference, Saraju Mahanty. He's the Department of Computer Science and Engineering at the University of North Texas in Denton. Welcome to the program, Saraju.
Thank you.
Now, do I understand the title of your presentation is going to be Smart Healthcare Demystified? Is that correct?
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit what some of the stuff you're going to be presenting?
I'll be presenting the technical details of smart healthcare, which involves what is called Internet of Medical Things. So Internet of Medical Things is a technology that makes smart healthcare possible, which consists of various types of sensor that we have as wearables as well as implantable, and then they are connected to the internet, and in the process they provide real-time continuous monitoring of our body physiological activities as well as other health conditions that we want to monitor.
So you'll be implanting sensors, and they will be connected through RF, I suppose, some sort of to the cloud or to another unit or something like that. How will they be connected?
They can be connected through Bluetooth or Wi-Fi.
Okay, through Bluetooth or Wi-Fi, and this will allow continuous monitoring of the particular body part or function that you're
monitoring. So we can have wearables as well as implantables, and they will be connected to the internet, okay, and they can be connected also to the phone through Bluetooth or Wi-Fi, both the options are there. And then we can monitor specifically, let's say we want to monitor heart or we want to monitor brain, so we can have those localized monitoring, or we can have activity monitoring, sleeping monitoring, all these things.
Okay. Now then, more than just heartbeat and blood pressure and blood sugar levels, but any number of different things you'll be able to monitor. Can you give us some examples of that?
Yes. So, for example, right now we have developed devices that can automatically monitor food intake and tell us how much calorie we are consuming, and also tell us whether we are eating more because we have stress and other things. So that is one kind of device we have developed. Another kind of device we have developed that monitors the stress level throughout the day and then tells us, okay, you are high stressed or you are medium level stress, and then it can propose some remedials. For example, go take shower or do yoga or do breathing exercises and so on. Then another, we are able to monitor EEG signals and then tell us within less than 1 second when a seizure is happening, so that we can have control measures like drug delivery and other things on the brain itself to control the epileptic seizure.
Now, you'll be installing these monitors directly in the particular organ, like I think you just said, the liver and that sort of thing. Will it be directly in those organs?
Right. So monitoring can happen through wearable or implantable, but when we are to deliver drugs, implantable, let's say, on the brain, then we can have implantables that will inject some drugs to control serious problems like seizure and so on.
All right, now how are you testing these? If this isn't something that currently is in operation, is it? How are they being tested?
Right. So there are two things. We are doing fast, a lot of things. We use a lot of open access data. Okay, then test them during our it's development going in the lab. We use a lot of open access data and we validate our ideas and so on. And then we have been now collaborating with other medical schools and in a couple of years we'll have some realistic validation in collaboration with medical schools.
Okay, so you're looking into the future and you think that in a couple of years, maybe I want to pin you down a little bit more than that this will be in regular use, is that right?
Yes, it's in the process. And recently we have one more thing coming up. I gave you a few examples, one more thing coming up where we can monitor the blood glucose level without actually taking the blood sample.
How are you going to prevent the body rejecting these sensors that you're implanting?
Right. So implantable sensors are one type of, meaning when things are serious, so you want to implant, let's say seizure kind of problems. But something, let's say we want to monitor stress or we want to monitor blood glucose level, those we can just manage with wearables. So it depending on the severity of condition and what we are trying to do, we have different technologies, wearable to implantable. Okay, and I was mentioning one very interesting result recently. I worked with some people internationally where we are able to monitor blood glucose level without taking blood sample, just with optical signals.
Wow.
Another result we have.
All right. Fascinating stuff that you're into, that's for sure. And you're going to be able to demonstrate some of these things, I guess, through some videos or charts or something like that at the Metricon conference?
I'm thinking of taking a group of students who will give their live demo of what they're doing.
Oh, you'll actually bring students then. And that.
We have time till November, but that is not my plan to take a couple of students there.
Well, that will be sensational. And what is the one the thing that you want to leave the audience with? You want to just give them general knowledge of what you're doing, or is there a certain theme or something that you want them to have as a takeaway?
I will be giving details of what exactly the technology, because there are still now I see a lot of lack of exact idea what is smart healthcare, because we have been talking about, for example, telemedicine before, connected health, all these things. So my first goal is to give the audience that what is smart healthcare as compared to what used to be mobile health or electronic health and so on. Okay, then other details I want to give, what are the in the smart healthcare we are talking about the details of sensors, connectivity and so on. And then security and privacy issues are very important. And we have some interesting technology for preserving the security and privacy. So I'll be talking about those. And then what are the secret vulnerability and how we are able to solve some of the secret aspects of those details I'll give.
Okay. We're looking forward to seeing you at the 32nd annual IEEE Metricon conference sponsored by Lockheed Martin. You'll hear Sarah Jupi Mahanty and his students, if that's possible to get them there, on the subject of smart health care demystified and taking and implanting sensors in certain parts of the body that will be connected by Bluetooth or by Wi-Fi or any number of other devices that be able to monitor the body's functions. We'll look forward to it, Sarah. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Okay, thank you.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Science News Radio Network special presentation, Promise of Tomorrow, with Colonel Mason. Those of you listening on radio can also hear us commercial-free online anytime, webcast, at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Okay, as we continue to cover the important people that are speaking at this year's Metricon conference, sponsored by Lockheed Martin and produced by IEEE, have with us today Christoph Solner. I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly. He's Associate Professor of Computer Sciences and Engineering Department at the University of Texas at Arlington. And Dr. Solner worked for Google and Microsoft at one time in research, and he was trained at the university at Stuttgart, Germany. He's working on problems in program analysis, automated bug finding, and of course there's a lot of bugs to be found. So welcome to the program, Dr. Solder Christoph.
Thank you.
Now, tell us a little bit about what you're going to be talking about at the Metricon conference.
Yeah, so we're going to be talking about a system for finding bugs in tools that are used to create cyber-physical systems. So example tool is MathWorks Simulink, which is widely used in automotive, aerospace, and health applications. So many engineers use that tool to create software, basically, that operates these cyber-physical systems. And we have a tool that automatically finds bugs in such a design tool.
Okay. When I think of bugs, immediately comes to mind the Boeing 737 airplane that apparently had a terrible bug in one of its sensors and has caused at least what we believe is two airline crashes, and now currently those planes are off. Would your tool be of help in finding that bug?
Oh, that's a great question. I'm not sure if we'd be able to find this bug. We mainly find bugs in the design tools, which then in turn may introduce subtle bugs into, say, an airplane or a car. This particular bug I don't know too much about, so I cannot say if we can find it or not.
Okay, well, you say complex software tools have software bugs, and the goal is to automatically find the bugs in the software tools and eventually deploy the generated code in cars, planes, and that sort of thing. So help me to understand exactly what it is that that your tool is going to be doing.
So our tool is basically simulating how an engineer would use such a design tool, and is going to run such a design tool several times and just going to compare the results that the design tool produces. And then it's just looking for small changes that come out of the design tool. For example, if you have an existing input model and simulate that model in Simulink and then generate code from that model that might eventually be deployed on the same airplane, and then you do the entire process again, but just make a small change in the configuration of the design tool that should not affect the resulting software, we will be able to pick up on some of those changes.
Okay, so when we hear you speak at the Metricon conference, are you going to have some demonstrations of this particular procedure you're talking about?
That's a good idea, have a demo. So, ideally I would have a student with me who did all the work, who could do the demo. I'm there just here to, you know, claim the results, but he did all the work. So, I have to think about how to actually do a demo. So there's lots of tool compiling, and so I don't see too much of the screen. I'm not sure this is going to make for a great demo, but I have to think about how to do this. That's a great idea.
So it's kind of a challenge in how you're going to be able to get your message across, and you're still kind of putting that together. Is that the case?
That's right. Yeah.
And what's the takeaway? What do you want to have people leave there in knowing and you know, what do you want them to take away with them, the things that that you want to teach them?
So one thing is that these design tools do have bugs, and I think engineers are aware of that. So it's similar to, like, say, a C compiler, which also widely used to create software, and people found a lot of bugs in C compilers as well. Some people take these tools for granted that they're guaranteed to be correct, but a talk like this can reinforce the notion that, yes, there's also a possibility that these tools contain bugs.
Ah, okay. So, what do you see coming in the future?
So we have a follow-up project in this topic. because not many people have worked on this in the domain of cyber-physical systems. So different ways of finding bugs in CPS design tools. For example, to mutate an existing model in a way that is supposed to not change the semantics or the behavior of the generated code, and then do the same pipeline again. So run the pipeline on the existing model and again on the mutated model and compare results of the generated code.
Okay, very good. Now, I know that you're highly educated in Stuttgart, Germany, and you've worked for Google and Microsoft, and now associate professor in the Computer Sciences and Engineering Department at the University of Texas in Arlington. So I'm sure that along the way you've been mentored by people that you highly admire and respect, and I'm sure that now with your students and things that you're mentoring them. What is there a life lesson you want to leave us with, some creed or some important thing that that maybe a professor has driven home to you and said, never forget this or always be this way, maybe from your father or maybe from somebody that you respected in your life's work or something? And sort of a creed of behavior of that sort of thing. Do you have some words of wisdom you can leave with us?
Well, I mean, there are several good things I picked up along the way, I hope. But one thing that comes to mind right now is for a researcher or scientist to produce work that other people can falsify or find problems with. So we're striving, for example, to release all the source code that we produce as open source code so other people can look at it and reproduce the results that we find, and just enable others to pick up and continue working on what we've done.
Okay, Christoph Solner, the Associate Professor, Computer Sciences and Engineering Department at the University of Texas in Arlington, going to be speaking at the IEEE Metrocon Conference, sponsored by Lockheed Martin. And that's going to be key insights in artificial intelligence with machine learning plus the Internet of Things. That's all coming up November 6th at the Hearst Convention Center. That's about midway between Dallas and Fort Worth, so it's easy to get to. So we'll enjoy seeing you there, and thank you so much for being a guest on our program.
Well, thanks for having me.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Science News Radio Network special presentation, Promise of Tomorrow, with Colonel Mason. Those of you listening on radio can also hear us commercial-free online anytime, webcast, at promiseoftomorrow.biz.
And now, we make time for the voice of reason. Listener comments, ideas, and suggestions.
No, saying it's just a theory is a misunderstanding of what theory means in science. It doesn't mean it's a guess or it's a, you know, I'm just trying to figure this out, or even that it's an intelligent guess. A theory in science is as close to a description of reality that we can manage. Theory in science is absolutely the absolute top of the pile of ideas of how we structure our thoughts and our ideas. So let me talk about the law of gravity. Gravity is a real thing. We have loads of evidence to suggest that gravity works in a particular way. Theory goes above that in the hierarchy. So a theory is a description of reality that is based on stacks of evidence, stacks of experimental evidence has been tested and tested and tested, and all ideas within those tests point to one singular idea. I am Dr. Adam Rutherford, and yes, I am a science writer and broadcaster and a geneticist.
So you decide, has this really been the voice of reason? Listener comments are welcome at 214-329-4949. And please tell us your name and where you're from.
You've been listening to The Promise of Tomorrow with Colonel Mason, the definitive program on emerging and nanotechnologies, now archived and streamed on the web at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Join us next week at the same time as we learn more about the promise of tomorrow.
I am waiting for you. I